Did y'all already say who y'all have for this game that's on the end since we made a loss? Yeah. Who do y'all have for Phoenix versus Minnesota?
I got Phoenix winning this series.
Oh boy, I don't know about that one.
I don't know, man.
Y'all can say what y'all want to say. I believe what I believe. It's too much firepower on Phoenix and on the ball offensively. Which means a lot of fouls.
I think Phoenix can beat Minnesota.
They gonna beat Minnesota.
I don't know about that, bro. What is Minnesota's record for the year?
They the number 2 seed.
All right, and where's Phoenix?
Well, no, they the number 3 seed. They the number 3 seed.
And where, Minnesota's number 6, right? I mean, Phoenix number 6.
Yeah.
Okay, and they're number 6 for a reason.
That don't mean nothing.
No, yes, it does mean a whole lot.
It don't mean nothing when you're playing a 7-game series against the same team.
It means a lot.
Yeah,
it does. Like I said,
I mean, when it comes
well,
to
then, playoff, well, if you want to say that, then experience mean a lot too. Experience mean a lot too. And guess what? Phoenix got on their side playoff experience.
Oh yeah, they got playoff experience, all right.
Yeah,
but what
Minnesota though?
Well, guess what? They've been showing up all year.
Regular season don't matter. Oh, it's a new season now.
No, woman, you can't say regular season don't matter.
It don't.
That's how you get to where you at.
It's a new season now. Everybody record 0-0 right now.
Yeah. But also, history plays a part in that, bro.
And history says Minnesota doesn't get out the first round.
You know, and guess what? Year over year, there's always been a changing of the guard, hasn't it?
Well, it ain't going to be this
year. You can't go by history all the time.
You just sat here and said history speaks for itself. You just said it out your mouth.
I sure did. And history, I'm talking about history, I'm talking about the regular season, brother.
Regular season has shown for Minnesota, regardless how good their record is and they make the playoffs, they don't get outside of the first round.
No.
They haven't made it outside of the first round since Kevin Garnett and Troy Hudson.
If it didn't mean anything, it won't let everybody play in the playoffs.
They do. That's why they got the
ball. Everybody doesn't. Half the teams don't make it.
It's only 16 teams in each.
I think what Romar is basically saying, when you get to a point, I have to agree with him on this. Hey, I remember one season, the Lakers won like 63 games.
Yep. I know
you got knocked out by Phoenix in the first round. And nobody thought about their 65 wins. All they know is you got knocked out in the first round.
Yep. And then okay.
And it's like, go ahead, you win all the games you want. If you can't win in the playoffs, what do those wins mean?
I understand that. But look here. How many times does it happen the other way, though? It happens more times when the teams with the best record ends up winning.
The Houston Rockets came in as basically a wild card, won the whole thing.
Yeah. Miami has came into the playoffs the last 3 to 4 seasons as an 8th seed. And then went to 3 Eastern Conference Championships and 2 NBA Finals, not being one of the best teams in the East.
And it does happen. But you can't count Minnesota out.
Yes, I can, because Minnesota playoff history speaks for itself.
Okay.
They haven't
I'm not counting them out. I won't count them out. What I will say is this. It wouldn't surprise me if they get beat.
Right. And somebody on the speed got some background noise going on. Who is that? Somebody got some, okay.
But
yeah,
they haven't made it to the second round of the playoffs since Kevin Garnett and Troy Hudson played together.
I understand exactly what you said.
MVP season.
Okay, but guess what?
The history of the Minnesota Timberwolves in the playoffs, they don't go past the first round.
That's not necessarily always the case right here, Romar.
Well, this is the case.
Well, it ain't the case this time.
Hold on.
Look at Nostradamus.
Do I smell a wager on this since you believe that much?
Yeah, I bet you a dollar.
Okay. I want my dollar at the end of the series. $1? You can give it to me. 20 nickels, 10 dimes, 4 quarters.
No, you get
I'm not accepting 100 pennies.
No, you get a whole dollar. if you win, and I won't mind.
Oh, I know I'm going to win this.
Yes, sir.
Who is that in the background now?
Kevin. That's me.
All right.
Kevin.
Yeah, speak up.
All right, let's check it out. The last time the Timberwolves made out of the playoffs in the first round was back in 2003-2004 season.
All right.
And KG was there.
And look at it. I'm not talking as a Minnesota fan. I'm not a Minnesota fan.
That was 20 years ago.
But you have to look at it like this. Phoenix has been inconsistent.
But you don't have to. You don't. They can be inconsistent. They playing the way that they played during the regular season. But
I put it to you like this, Romar. I'll say this much: season if Phoenix gets knocked out in this first round, you got to already talk about breaking this team up.
That's
because,
right.
Because number one, KD ain't getting no younger. Bradley Beal, to me, that was a horrible trade, regardless of what anybody thinks. And
Bradley Beal just went there because he was just trying to get out of Washington.
I don't blame him either.
And then you know what? Nurkic has been pretty decent.
But
to get rid of DeAndre Ayton the way they did,
which was stupid.
It was really stupid. Not really, because
they had to a point because
he's
not a good plan. But now I'm starting to wonder. He had a pretty good season up in Portland. Was he the victim of Monty Williams?
Oh, no. Well,
yeah, I will say that because Monty Williams did not like him.
Okay. But Monty got cut before Aiden got shipped to Portland.
No, they got, that happened at the same time.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I feel that Phoenix is going to win this series. Because Nurkic is going to kill Rudy Gobert. KD can get to the lane and attack the bucket anytime he wants. Bradley Beal can too. Devin, the only problem I think with Phoenix, they got Devin Booker playing out of position, playing the point.
So, Carl Anthony Towns is not a factor at all.
Yeah, Cat is a bigger version of Julius Randle to me.
Nah.
Yeah, he show up when he show up. He inconsistent.
Yeah.
He's inconsistent and he don't show. He ain't showed up too much in the playoffs when it mattered either.
I gotta say that because I've always called Cat one of the biggest underachievers in NBA history.
Great regular season, but doesn't do that. He just like Donovan Mitchell, where he disappears.
Him and Chris Webber have some of the greatest basketball skills for big men I've ever seen in my life. For both of them to not have.
But Chris Webber never disappeared in the playoffs.
Yes, he has.
He just ran
away. Oh, yes, he has.
Oh, well, in the Sacramento game when they should have beat LA.
Uh-huh. I want to say, don't do that.
He did it much, but Kat is one of them.
He's Post consistent. Lost
he's consistent with not showing up when it matters. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't have that dog.
They don't. You're right.
The one person that go if Minnesota win is going to be off of Anthony Edwards' back.
But here's the problem: he has not ever been on this stage.
Yeah, first that's the only thing.
Because like when the light shines the brightest, who knows if he does go? I mean, this is a test right here for him.
But hold on, who team is it though?
I think it's Ant team.
Oh, it is. If you want to call it Anthony Edwards' team, it's Anthony's team, but
if they get out the first round, it's really going to be on Carl Anthony's shoulders if they get out the first round for real.
Well, I tell you what, if he's on, they're going to win it.
I do not believe
he's
that.
On, they're on
they it. Only got two scores.
If
you
he
got
don't, what's
three.
Gonna happen? If he don't, what's gonna happen?
They're gonna lose.
Then what are you gonna say about Carl Anthony Towns then?
He don't show up for a big man.
That's why he's got to go.
Oh, go go where?
He go, if Minnesota loses this series, Cat got to go.
No, do you think they're going to get rid of Cat?
Yeah.
They can't win with him.
And it definitely ain't going to win without him. Right,
they've brought people in, I mean, year after year. They tried almost everything. It's not working for them.
No, you know, I say this. I would believe, I would not put it all on Ant. I would put it on Rudy Gobert because you gave up 5 first-round picks for this guy.
And well, that was completely stupid.
So that's whose shoulders it falls on.
Hey, think about this, what you just said, Romar. You gave up 5 first-round picks for Rudy Gobert.
The man that shut the world down.
That was you know what? That was the dumbest move ever.
You get rid of the general manager for making a move that dumb.
That, you're right, Mark. Hey, that was so.
I'm not going to argue that.
Okay.
I
tell you what, let's break it down. And what are Rudy
Gobert's. KD, you.
What are Rudy Gobert's stats?
Terrible.
No, okay. How many rebounds he gonna give you?
Hold on, put it like this.
No.
In the last 2 seasons, Rudy Gobert has 250 blocks. In Victor Wembanyama's first season in the NBA, he has almost 300 blocks.
Oh, that's where I'm going with this. Okay.
Rudy Gobert is not that defensive player that
I like. I'm not defending. Look, did I say I like Rudy Gobert? Absolutely not. Well, I'm saying, what is he going to give you consistently?
Now, Romar, that ain't fair. Yes, hold on. Because Victor Wembanyama's stats, they're an anomaly. His stats are unheard of. Everybody who's a good defender.
Hold on. No. I ain't trying to hear that because he's a 4-time defensive player of the year. And you telling me if you're a full-time defensive player of the year and over 2 years, you can only muscle up 250 blocks?
Hey, it is what it is. But
what's that? 125 a year?
That's terrible.
No, I'm just asking the question.
It's not bad. It's just terrible compared to Victor Wembanyama.
Well, you can in all fairness, though, you can't compare. Yeah, I mean, he's an anomaly by himself, dude. You got to think about this.
Oh, look at you, Nurkic, killing
him. Okay, now I got to ask the question.
Gobert is a solid defender as
for
a coach.
You just seen this man get bullied. See him get bullied?
Yeah.
He's not no scorer.
He wasn't. He wasn't worth that trade.
You know, I can't get over this. I didn't even know that. 5 first round draft. I can't believe that.
He's not a bad player.
He's not a star either.
If he ain't a bad player, then what? If he ain't a bad player, then what is he? If he ain't a bad player, because
he should be coming off the bench.
Can I say?
No, I wouldn't say that.
You calling him mediocre?
Average? Yeah, because is anybody on this panel right now can call him a star? Yeah. Is anybody going to call Rudy Gobert a star?
If you say he ain't a bad
player, he's not a bad player, though.
He damn sure ain't a good one.
Okay, I got a question. Answer my question. Anybody going to say that Rudy Gobert is a star?
No.
Solid role player. He's a solid
role player, and you give a 5 first round break. Let that resonate.
Look, I never agree with that one. I don't agree with that.
Agreed with that.
I'm not agreeing with the trade, but is he a bad player? I can't agree with that one. I can't say he's a bad player.
The only person that agreed to that trade is the one that made it.
That's the only one. Can I say Rudy Gobert is trash? No, I can't say that.
You can't say he above trash?
I can't. He's better than a lot of centers in the league.
What? Which one? Which one?
You name him.
He ain't really better than Nurkic. You just seen Nurkic just big boy him with a one handed.
Is he better than Clint Capella?
Not really.
Nope. Not at all.
What about Andre Drummond?
I will say this about Rudy Gobert. He's a hell of a defender. He's not a defensive player.
He's not a scorer.
He's not a scorer, but he's a hell of a defender.
That's what I'm saying. So at the end of the day, is he better than Clint Capella?
No.
Overall, he ain't as athletic. But if I had to have one of the two, and I like Clint Capella a lot, the reason why I would go with, I would take Clint Capella over Rudy Gobert is because sometimes Rudy Gobert makes some stupid decisions.
And not only that.
But overall, I would rather have Rudy Gobert.
No, overall, Mark, that's your choice. Overall, I take Clint because Clint can give you, a 12 and 20. What he can give Miles you 20
Turner?
Points.
What about Miles Turner?
Miles Turner ain't a real center. That man like 6'9".
He a real center because Bam well, a real
if he's
center.
Playing center, he's a center.
He's undersized. He's just undersized.
Yeah.
I don't think Miles Turner undersized, though.
Yeah, 6'9", yeah. But you know what? As a matter of fact, somebody, clear this for me. Because for years, it was going around and said Moses Malone was only 6'9". That man was taller than 6'9". It had to be, right?
I don't know.
They said Bill Russell was 6'9".
I mean, Barkley was 6'6".
Oh, I had no dispute there. But tell me, Bill Russell, hey Mark,
was
they said he was 6'9". Going against Wilt at 7'1". Hey Mark, what's the truth behind that?
He's 6'9", 6'10". But here's the thing. Bill Russell was a hell of a runner.
He was.
He was a running floor.
That's
and
right.
And this is the thing sometimes people don't realize. When you're a big man like, say, Wilt, people tend to forget how phenomenal of an athlete Wilt was. But when you got the players around you that Bill Russell had.
Yeah.
And he was an all-around great athlete himself. He started the fast break. The fast break started behind those Boston teams he had.
Mm-hmm.
This dude was a hell of an athlete.
He was.
And he made you work. You did not get to take a playoff with him. He went straight at you. And you were going to earn every point, every rebound, whatever it was, you were going to work for.
That's right. And most people don't know this too, Mark. He was more of a scorer his first years in the league than he was later. Okay? And you're right. He used to run the floor like a gazelle. That's a fact. I've seen some old clips of him. Outstanding athlete. But again, the GOAT, Bill Russell. I had to get that.
I'll put it to you like this. If you watch this game, nobody would ever sit to think this, but I'm telling you, if you ever watch, you say, yeah, I guess. He was a larger version of Dennis Rodman that could score if he needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mark, you remember.
And defense.
But hold on, Mark. You remember, though. When Dennis came into the league, he averaged 16 coming off the bench for Detroit. Dennis Rodman was a great scorer.
You just basically spoken to what William was saying when he came to Bill Russell.
Russell
was a great scorer when he came in the league.
Now see, Sidney don't believe that Dennis Rodman could score the way he could score.
But you wouldn't know what Dennis Rodman.
What you mean? You talking about not at that level? He was six man in the year, averaging 18 and 10. See, what are you talking about,
Dennis Rodman?
We still don't put him in one of the greatest scorers ever.
No, that ain't gonna happen.
That's not the point.
That's not gonna happen.
They're not saying Bill Russell one of the greatest scorers ever, but he's the greatest winner.
And look at the team he played on, though. Like he just said, he played with everybody on his team was Hall of Famers.
Look, WB and Mark probably the only two that was close enough to being around with WB for sure probably was the only one looking at Bill Russell play on TV.
I ain't in that age group.
I just saw film.
No, I'm just saying.
I saw it.
See, I won't even coming at you like that, but like you.
No,
you
I'm just
like
playing.
On this panel right now, they can honestly say that you seen a Bill Russell, Bob Cousy basketball.
I sure did. And so also,
I put it to you like this.
You actually seen Red Auerbach.
I sure did.
I mean, if you think about it, fellas, Bill Russell played on a team where out of, 15 guys on the squad, 12 of them are in the Hall of Fame?
Wow.
That's
right. And look here. And don't forget about one of the greatest six men of the year, and that was John Havlicek.
Havlicek, you know, my mom went to school with him.
Look at that.
That dude, I put it to you like this.
Killer.
This dude was a
John Havlicek was
the
greatest six man.
Hold on, but see, this
all-star.
Is an era. Go ahead, Mark.
You compare Dennis Rodman.
When it comes to Bill Russell, their games was very similar. Dennis Rodman was a phenomenal, well, we know, phenomenal defender.
Right. We
bailed. And you look at how he ran the floor.
Like a gazelle.
And he was strong as hell.
Yep.
I seen him and Carl Malone get tangled up on the floor, and he lifted him up and threw him like two or three different times going down the floor in one sequence.
That's literally threw him.
And they say T-Mac said after a game they was playing. It was Kevin Garnett. Say after they played a game against the Bulls, he walking out the stadium, and I guess he walking past like their workout room. Dennis Rodman is in there on the treadmill with jeans and motorcycle boots on, running on the treadmill.
That is crazy.
He said that. He said from what Dennis Rodman told him from what he was doing, that's how you get through your back-to-backs, because your body is almost in game shape for the next game on a back-to-back.
If you're a player, you did not want Dennis Rodman guarding you.
Mm-mm.
No, you didn't want him guarding.
Because he did more of this.
Oh, he was. Man. Very smart.
You know, and he was the best in the game at knowing how to get into your head.
Yeah. Tell me about it, brother. Tell me about it.
I mean, I saw him when they played Seattle for the title in 97. He got Frank Murkowski third out the game like within a minute, and all he did was just look at it.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I got another question. Now, we don't talk about Dennis Rodman's assist, and I don't have any stats on that at all. But he, next to Wes Unseld, he was getting that outlet pass out. He'd get the rebound, and that ball was down his court.
Oh, he was, I'll tell you what, probably one of the best that's ever done it.
And
I mean.
It's a shame there's not a stat for that.
Wow.
It's not a stat for an outlet pass, but people, because that's underrated as far as importance.
Isn't it?
Yeah, because you start the fast break, you start the transition off from defense to offense. Everything is turned around, and the quicker you get down and get set and get the open shot, the better. So, yeah.
See, you remember when Magic and them played. See, Kurt Rambis was great with getting the rebound and starting the outlet. Kareem was great with it, too, because they usually, remember, they just have to wait for him to get down the floor.
Yeah.
Well, it was like
Kareem just never did. He just got that outlet out there.
Yeah.
That was it.
Rebound, get the outlet. Hey, he did his job.
I mean,
everybody else was running.
When you got Magic and a young James Worthy.
Uh-huh.
Cap.
Oh, man.
Get it out. That's right. Save your energy. Stay back here on the defense.
I put it to you like this.
Right.
We got you down the stretch. We going to slow the game down for you down the stretch, Cap.
Right. Mark?
No, growing up in Ohio, I was such a Laker fan as a kid. My dad had a two-way radio to where I did not miss a game. Of course, we didn't have satellite and stuff back then. If it wasn't on TNT that night or USA or whatever it was, or you had to wait for tape delay from CBS, I listened to every Laker game every night they played. And even moving to California, the norm for a lot of people back then was, if they had the game on KCAL Channel 9, then you had Chick Hearn.
But
if you didn't get to listen to Chick Hearn and it was on TNT, you turn the game on, you turn the TV down, and you turn on the radio to listen to Chick Hearn call that game. Oh, man, it was phenomenal back then.
But just think about how that 80s Laker team was basically built.
Yeah, well, those were dumb trades the teams made.
Yeah, but you get Kareem. You get Kareem from the Bucks after he even came off of what? Winning the ship?
Right.
You get Kareem.
That's right. He did win one with the Bucks, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get one with him, then you get lucky. Jerry Buss' first year as owner of the team, you get lucky and beat out two other teams on a coin flip for the number one pick.
Well, it didn't really matter on that flip because what people don't realize is that
Bird still would have went to Boston.
Boston was intent on taking Bird. They didn't care what it was.
Yeah, but you get Magic.
Oh, that was perfect.
Then 2 years later, you get the number three pick, and you get Big Game James.
Yeah.
No, he's actually the number one.
Oh, they got him.
Well, but let's go back for a second.
Well,
Let's go back 1 second. You got Magic. Think about this. Got Magic on the West. You got Bird on the East. And it, reportedly, they hated each other in the very beginning because I think they met. They didn't meet up in.
No, they
ended up being friends. But in the very beginning, though, they're in college. Didn't they meet up?
They met for the national championship.
That's right.
They never met. That was their first time.
But I'm going to tell you something. That was the shot in the arm that the NBA needed because the NBA was struggling.
They needed two stars, and they were the best. They were the biggest. That's
my point. Exactly.
Let's just put it to where the truth comes to it. Magic and Bird comes 79. I remember my friend Nate Banks and I sat down in his kitchen. We watching the game on NBC, kept the scorebook, everything of that game.
Man.
I tell you something right now. That was the first time where I watched the game and I realized this is black against white.
Yeah.
There's no other way around it.
What they made it about, though.
But it was also the first time I'd ever seen two dudes 6'9" that can handle the ball the way they did.
Man,
I was mesmerized.
And Bird took a year off.
With Bird, and what people tend to forget.
Bird took a year off from college, didn't he?
What people tend to forget, he went to Indiana first.
Yeah, and dropped out there because his daddy got sick or something.
He didn't like Bobby Knight.
And his daddy got sick. So
I can't
blame
him for that. I didn't like Bobby Knight either. Bobby Knight had a mental issue.
Yeah, and then here was the other part. They had beat a DePaul team that was like 29-0 or something like that. They had Mark Aguirre, Terry Cummings, and that team was stacked. And they kept talking about this guy Bird. I said, man, who is this white dude they keep talking about?
Man.
And man, this cat came on the scene. Then the Magic Man came. And from that point on, the game's never going to be the same.
But you got to think about it. In the same year that they won for that national championship, they both made their team household names.
It's crazy. But Indiana State is still recognized because of Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Of course.
Would you say Michigan State recognized because of
Magic?
Well, no, I'll be honest with you. Michigan State had some bad dudes before Magic got there, but they wasn't on that platform
until Magic got
there.
To
the next level.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Magic and Bird saved the league from folding.
Yes, that's right. That NCAA
that's
championship
exactly
game.
Right.
Saved the NCAA tournament. Because, see, back then it used to be the good old boys, Kelly Tripucka and Notre Dame and all that BS. Nobody cared about that. You had Kentucky, with Rick Roby and
James
Bank and all that, Carolina with Phil Ford. No, it came down to where they realized after that game, that basketball has transformed into a whole different level of playing.
That's right.
You had a guy like Bird, who he don't get the credit. You had John Havlicek, but then you had Rick Barry, who was a phenomenal player. But he didn't have no rival to go against.
That's right.
In 1979, it got to the point where the NCAA said, hey, look, we got to do something. Let's make this a white against black thing. And that's what they basically did.
And they made money.
Yeah. And then from there, Magic and Bird get to the NBA. If you watch how a lot of people follow, maybe outside of you, William, because I know you're a Boston fan, but most people that like Boston were racist. And most people that was going to go for L.A.
Oh. That guy just got up on that dunk.
Hey, Mark, I got to push back a little bit. I used to be a Boston fan a long time ago, but then I switched to L.A., okay, when it became a Magic and Bird, I was already a Lakers fan. Now, you guys know me. I am not loyal to any team. You already know. It doesn't matter what it is. What are you shaking your head for, Romar? Football, basketball.
I'm looking at the basketball.
Yeah. Okay.
Certain things don't change, WB.
At all.
One thing that you are loyal to is saying that you ain't loyal.
That's it.
I so love my father. I really do. My dad, I swear to you, I'm not bragging. It's not
I'm gonna get you
brag.
A shirt that's made to say I ain't loyal.
I'm attracted to Sonya to get me one.
That's for you.
My father is a national treasure. I swear he is.
I've been trying to get Sonya to make this shirt. Hey, Bill. I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it on.
We need to get Rev on that.
We got to get something happening here. I've told this story over and over again, but those of you who missed the story, Mill.
Yes, sir.
E. Scott.
Yes, sir.
Email Scott Brown. Scott, my son, knows he used to come visit me when I'm in California, right? And he can attest to this. I had a shirt that some of my friends made of me that had all of the NFL football teams on there, okay? And it had a Velcro strips on each side with a dot that I could move and say it at the bottom. It could change his loyalty at any time. Hey, I love that shirt. I love it. Okay.
And because I saw the shirt before he did. And I looked at it, and it was cute. It was adorable.
I loved it.
And the first thing I said, is this an adult size? Jay was a small. It wasn't a medium. It was a small.
No, it was. Guess what? Hey, Scott, it was a muscle shirt.
It was a body vein visible shirt. That's what it was.
Hey, look here. I'm gonna cut both of y'all mics.
He had a vegan shirt on.
Yeah, he had a vegan shirt. I cannot believe it's not spandex. That shirt was so daggone small. I was like, how is he gonna fit in it?
Well, who said I ever put it on?
He went to
you
the
vegan.
He said,
no. Hey,
all you could do was look at it.
Shirt was so small, you'll choke a Bill the Bell.
Hey, look here. Romar. Hey, cut mic number one.
Nope. Get him, Bill. Get him.
Okay.
Get him.
Hey, Sonya, go over there and cut mic number one and number four.
Man, he said your hat.
Nope. Well, guess what?
Nope. Man, he said your hat was bigger than your shirt.
Guess what? Okay, y'all won't do it? I know how to work my own board.
I'm sorry, that had
No. It's too late now.
You open the door.
I ain't open no damn
you
door.
You open the door when you start talking about him coming over there, and you wanted to talk about this.
And you know what?
This tiny shirt that you
that
had.
That was a time of my life. Was one of the greatest times I've ever had.
You said
anytime that he breathed, a team would fall off the shirt.
Yes, it would.
You know what?
Yes. It was honestly, that was actually the very first time I ever played dominoes, too.
No. Guys.
That was the very first time I ever played dominoes.
You guys, listen to how he's trying to get himself out of this. No, it's recorded.
Oh, that means they can go see this.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. You know, and you guys continue because I've got something I've got to say in about 10 minutes. Okay? Since this is off the rails.
Yes,
hey, Mark, I want your opinion on this. Mill?
Yes, sir.
Romar? Sure, hey, is Kevin still on? I will see it.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay, and Sonya.
Yes.
And I'm calling out Stephen A. Smith on my way back. Continue the conversation. I don't want to interrupt the flow. Okay, whatever we need to do about basketball, whatever it is, but I want to call out that sellout. I want to call out that sellout. That's right. That sellout, Stephen A. Smith. I'll tell you more about it. Look, this is my conversation, Mark.
And I got the popcorn, too, so this is going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be good. Okay. Hey, guys.
I got an idea. I got an idea what it's about.
I know you do, Mark.
I do, Mark.
Mark, I know you do. Kevin, I know you do. All you guys already know what I'm about to say. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
I don't know. I'm missing something, too. I've been writing the whole time.
Continue the broadcast. I'll be back. Do you know what 10 minutes mean?
I want to know this. You can't leave the show talking about here, sellout.
What I said? 10 minutes?
Yeah, I'm ready to talk about this.
Oh, can't do that.
I said what I had to say about your small little shirt. I mean, I'm trying to move on to something else.
This ain't got nothing to do with neither one of y'all.
And you got another one on the podcast.
I didn't want to interrupt the flow. Okay, I'm sure Mule got more to talk about. You got to go and do what you got to do. I'll talk to you in 10 minutes.
Are you disrespectful?
You know, it's a good thing I try to stop cussing on radio.
All right, so
I'm being disrespectful.
Yeah.
I said 10 minutes.
You know, you disrespectful. You can't stop. You can't stir no pot up and leave it to burn.
Yes, I can. It's called a cliffhanger.
Uh-huh. Well, that was the shirt that you had, huh? It was a cliffhanger.
Okay, did you see that sign language?
This is a family-oriented show, even though it is called Off the Rails, ladies and gentlemen. The 420 edition of Off the Rails. And I'd like to thank our sponsors, J&J, for looking out for us all through the years. 3302 Williamsburg Road, Supreme Flea Market. Tell them, you know, Studio W sent you if you happen to stop by. But, guys, let's talk about this NFL draft. That's coming up. Is it this next weekend?
It's Thursday.
Well, you know the problem is I got with the NFL draft, to be honest with you. I just put mine in now. They take too long getting this draft together. I mean, the season's over in January. And then for every day for the next 4 months, they talk about who's going to go first, second, third, and fourth, what kind of possible trades can be made. This year, he sucked on the Wonderlic because he didn't answer a question. His fourth grade teacher said he sucks. I mean, it gets old.
I agree. For this reason and this reason only. I mean, not this reason only, but this was my starting point. Do you realize the women's college basketball season has ended and they have had their draft already?
Oh, man.
After, you know, the NFL season has ended, all that was over with. Like a month, 2 months after NFL season ended, the women's college basketball playoff ended, and they've already had a WNBA draft. Make it make sense. What is taking a look?
Ask Roger Goodell.
And the season about to get started in 2 weeks.
Ask Roger Goodell.
And they... I'm with you 100%, Mark. It's too much. You got combines, you got pro days, and like you said, this
is more money. Guess what? Because it's maybe you ever thought because it's more money invested into that than it is in. Like, all right, think about it. Out of every college sport, or every outside of baseball, NFL. The NFL money is, most highly viewed than the NBA. College football season is a billion dollar market. So of course they probably it's gonna be long because I guess now they want to see where they gonna invest their money at. If you gonna put it into a player, it's different.
Yeah, but
I mean, I understand the process it definitely shouldn't take 3 months.
Right.
Or two and a half.
Right.
But you got to think about it. I'm about to change your life.
Change my life?
I mean, I'm just saying that with the owners. Your life about to change.
Yeah. So
in order for your life to change, I got to see the product that I'm going to get his money to. Let me see what I think I'm paying for.
Yes.
Now we're talking about how long it take with the NFL draft and everything. Long as we get Jaden Daniels, I'd be all right.
Oh, but does Jaden Daniels want to come now?
like somebody else said, if you want to come there or not, we paying you and we changing your life.
That is true. So, which quarterback is going to go? Because you got four on the roster right now.
What four quarterbacks we got? We only got one quarterback on the roster, and that's Mariota.
We got an extra third round pick
for Sam. Jacoby, he going back to New England. We only had three. All of them go.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would happen if I said Drake May was going to Washington?
Oh, that ain't happening.
No.
That ain't even happening. You can stop smoking whatever you smoking now.
You can't start making accusations like that, Roman.
Look, when it, I have not been.
No, I'm talking about somebody smoking something. You don't know where they may. That's called projection.
Just like Jay Nays projected to go to the second, number two overall.
Hey, look.
This is funny as hell.
I've been saying it before the season was over. I was saying it after their season was over.
Man, I love this
Jaden
show.
Jaden Daniels to D.C.
Hey, Mark. Sid.
Yeah.
I love this show. Sonya.
And a surprise number three pick.
This is off the rails.
Will not be Drake May. It will be J.J. McCaffrey to the New England Patriots.
Off the rails, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, also make sure you check out our brand new YouTube channel. All right? You want to go on and like and subscribe to this channel. Everybody listen to us.
Oh, here you go.
What are you trying to say here?
Here go the three voices.
This is the WB,
the Buzz.
This is a serious announcement, Romar. Will you please stop interrupting? All right? Get it back to what I was saying. All right? This is the Buzz, baby. Hey, download. You got to do it. YouTube. Studio W. The Buzz. Studio W. The Buzz. Will you cut it out, Romar?
I can't.
Studio W the Buzz. Hey, share with your friends, all right?
Every time I hit them, Joe, it kill me.
Yo, that don't be bad.
It's very impressive how you can go through three voices in just one promotion.
I've been doing this for a while.
Come on, bro. We don't need to hear your quiet storm voice.
Getting back to that. You mean that Barry White voice that comes on Mondays through Sundays, okay?
We're talking
about Sunday Night Gold. Monday Night Madness.
Okay. Hey, William, remember that one time you and I did a little Saturday night gig?
Yes.
I got to your place.
That's exactly right.
We put on that music for lovers for a minute. We said, man, we're getting so many calls tonight. We may have to keep doing this.
Hey, Mark. Hey, brother. Now, hey, Mark is also on Tuesday night. Now, very important announcement here. Groove Swing Speaks. And this is a serious program. When we talk about anything from mental health issues to voting rights.
I've seen a little bit of it, too.
Yeah. That's a serious show. That's on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on the West Coast, 7 p.m. on the East, 6 Central Time, and 5 Mountain Time. Right here on this network, StudioWBuzz.com, StudioWBuzz.com. Like and share. As a matter of fact, if you guys want to hear this show again, go to YouTube, StudioWBuzz, or the website. StudioW.Buzz. Click on archive shows.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Leave a review. All right. I'm done right now.
I'll tell you what. The Groove Swing Speaks is picking up nationwide.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, when you first asked me to come on, we used to do the Groove Talk Radio and different things. Hey, but man, this is at a level I never expected. And when I first got to go on, I was just going on as a listening. And I said, "Oh, William, you gotta let me in on this, man, because it is a phenomenal program. You're getting phenomenal speakers. We're getting into some phenomenal topics, and it is picking up. I see it. All the brothers, all the sisters, it's spreading.
I'm loving that, Mark. No, seriously, guys. Now, we laugh and joke and have a good time. We talk about sports and stuff like that. But also, we need to talk about substance.
I'm about to say, let's get into something right now. Like, I'm on the fence with this somewhat curfew that they done started yesterday. They got a city curfew. But now, check it.
Curfew? No, explain
now,
a little
now
bit more.
Check it. Now, the curfew is for kids that live in Richmond housing and redevelopment areas. They have to be in the house by 11 o'clock at night.
And it's only for those areas?
Yeah.
So you can draw, you can make your...
But the thing is, over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, it's been a lot of teenagers shot. Not been one shot at night.
During the day.
Yeah.
During the day, too.
Wow.
So the problem ain't at night.
And the problem is goes a lot deeper than that.
But
because...
Now,
you
but
know,
let me ask
you
a question,
Walmart,
real quick. I got a real quick question on that.
All right.
Well, go ahead, Mark.
Outside, unless they got a job, like a working a job.
Well, that might, then they might get a pass.
What reason does a young kid that is still in high school, what reason do they have to be out after 11 o'clock anyway?
Well, no,
maybe
none.
Because maybe because I grew up in a different.
Well, era. I can see, like, now they had a curfew. Doing me and Mill generation, our time out there when we was this age, they had a curfew at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you got caught, it's a $500 fine on your perm.
Mm-hmm.
This was citywide doing.
But see, when I grew up, the city didn't have to do that because
they
marginalized
this show.
We had a curfew called street light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And see, when that street light came on, you need
that's
to be
right.
at the crib.
I mean, I was like that when I was a kid.
Our parents basically told us, do not let that street light catch you.
Yeah. And if you're on the East Coast, and in winter, fall and wintertime, that street light could come on at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock. It was 5 o'clock.
Hey, well, see.
Hey, guess right. what? Hey, Dad. Or anywhere.
But see,
hey, Dad.
Y'all, the way y'all grew up was different than the way we grew up.
No. We grew up that way, too.
I mean, when I ain't had to be in by the time the streetlights came on because okay. I played in my yard.
Well,
I ain't have to go nowhere.
Well, see, growing up, I'm slightly older than most of you guys, okay? But I didn't have a curfew. Be quiet, role model. I did not have a curfew. But see, what I'm saying is, if you go put a curfew, let's say they have legitimate reasons for doing that, then you do it across the board.
You don't just
and
do
and
it.
Not in one area. I agree with you.
But see, hold on. I don't know what the stipulation could be if one of your if your child get caught outside in one of these areas. After 11 o'clock.
Well, you just said it. If it's only restricted to one area.
But I'm saying, seeing like when they did it citywide when me and Mill were teenagers, if you got caught, your parent got a $500 fine.
I understand that.
Now, I don't know what the stipulation could be that if it's because you living in Richmond Housing Redevelopment and your kid get caught after that curfew, is the stipulation that you lose your apartment?
Well, see, the thing about it, if you're going to just target one area, to me, that is discrimination.
No, but everything that has happened for us, the teenagers, has happened in those areas.
Now, you can't tell me that there's no other teenage crime that's going in any part of this city.
No, everything that happens, everything
white kids don't commit crimes after dark.
But no. Oh, I'm talking about all the daytime shootings that has happened for us and teenagers being involved. Have been in the projects.
Well,
or in Richmond, and that's why they're focusing on those areas.
Well, I understand
but let me ask you a question.
No.
It's a double-edged sword. Because if these killings now are happening during the day, the first thing we're going to be saying is, well, then you know what? This is my opinion. If these killings happen at day, rather happen at night, they're saying, well, the reason why, because there ain't nothing put in place. There ain't no type of stipulation for these kids. So you kind of in a no-win situation. Whether you make them be in the hell, do you tell them to come in early in the evening? They figure we'll just turn the clock back and shoot in the day. I don't know how they're doing this.
Right, right. But, and you know what? And Mark, I'm going to go a step deeper. Because, see, I'm going to tell you something. If you look at the stats, the United States, okay, per gun ownership, okay, is more than any other civilized country. We have more guns here. We have more murders here. We have more mass shootings here. Because I'm going to tell you something. You got people up in Washington, D.C. that get paid by the gun lobby. And guess what? They are refusing to pass any laws.
Let me finish
right now. Because I'm going to tell you what. They're up there right now. And the average congressperson is making $178,000 a year for taking multiple vacations for a year, not doing a damn thing, not passing any law. This is the 218th Congress that has been the most dysfunctional Congress ever. They're not doing a doggone thing. And they refuse to pass sensible gun laws.
I mean, think about it. You can be 18 and walk into Walmart and get a shotgun.
This is what I'm saying.
But you know the difference, like down here in Texas, you're right. You can walk into the academy and just get a gun. At least in California, when I bought a firearm, after they did my fingerprints, hey, I had to wait a week before they released that weapon to me.
That's right. That's right.
When I would go into Big Five and I wanted to buy ammo, hey, they had to take my license and they go back and run my stuff first before they would sell me ammunition. Out here, you can just walk in the store and get it. It's like being on Gunsmoke.
And you got to think about it. It's like buying a pack of gum.
And then you got to think about it. Right here. And you got to think about it. When these gun shows come here, you don't think that these youngins ain't got enough money to pay somebody to go to the gun show and get it when they want?
And if you go to these gun shows in a lot of these states, you don't even have to have a background check. Did you know that?
Nope.
I didn't. You don't have to have a background check. Okay? What I'm saying is, these people are putting profits over lives.
But you know what's so crazy? Because you said something about D.C. I found out. But you are not. You can't have a gun in D.C.
That's right.
That's crazy. You a citizen, or coming to, we coming from Richmond to go to D.C. to hang out, and we all registered gun owners. We got to leave our guns here.
You know. Let me
we can't take them in the District of Columbia.
Let me tell you
at
something.
All.
Some people would say, you're going against my Second Amendment rights, which is the right to own a gun. Now, but let me tell you something. Did you know over in England, nobody could have a gun? And guess what? How many people got, now they got stabbed. But you can't, you know, it's hard to do mass stabbings. It's easy to do mass shootings. I hope you let this resonate a little bit. So they're saying, we need all of these guns. And like I said, when I opened, I mentioned, we have more guns per capita and per person than any civilized organization.
Guess what toy maker is one of the biggest ammunition makers?
I don't know.
Mattel.
I wouldn't guess. I wouldn't doubt it. So they went from toys to guns.
Let me ask another question.
They sure did.
Let me ask another question, though. You know, with that being said, whether it's a day, whether it's at night, if these crimes, I'm just asking, it's happening in the projects, then the city has to have some type of ordinance in place. Because if not, we're going to be the ones going there and saying, hey, you know what, this is out of control, and ain't nobody doing nothing about it. So whether you set a curfew in the daytime, nighttime, afternoon, breakfast, lunch, dinner, don't matter.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
and I don't care. This is not my point. I'm not saying don't do it. All I'm saying is make it across the board.
But it should be citywide.
Yeah, it needs to be citywide. That's my point.
But see, the crazy thing about it, it's a lot of these kids that ain't even scared of the repercussions of what they do.
But then, Robert, let me ask you this question. And I hate to say this, but I'm just going to keep it real. Didn't that sound like it comes from the home that they're being brung up in?
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, the homes that I'm pretty sure we came up in, there was a little bit of fear about if you got into the wrong thing.
I mean, yeah.
You
got it now to where you got kids raising kids. In other words, what I'm saying, the kid be 15, the mom 29, and all that kind of mess.
Yeah.
Or you get the woman so worried about the boyfriend she got staying with her, the kid then got forgotten about and can do whatever they want because the man she with don't give a damn about the kid anyway.
Yeah. That's right. And you're right about that too, because then he comes here and the mom introduces, hey, this is your new daddy. This is your new daddy. And he's only there for the booty.
To be honest with you, that new man want the kid out the house so he ain't got to be bothered with it. So that he can do what he got to do. If they meet a decent man that comes in and say, "Oh no, we got to have some law and order in here. If I'm going to be here, there's going to be rules and regulations." Then you go with the old thing of, well, see, he ain't used to nobody telling him what to do. Don't say nothing to him. Oh, he's just mad. So a decent man will say, the hell with this. I'm out of here. I ain't dealing with it.
But see, WB, see, a lot of problems with things like that, and things happen because of the first thing you said out your mouth, this your new daddy. You bet not. No. And that's where you wrong as a female. To tell your kid this your new daddy?
Hey, let me tell you something. Where I'm from...
Oh, no, you bet not.
Where I'm from... I told my sister this 20 years ago, and it's sad, but it's true. I said, well, you know what? Go back home. That's the only place I know. You're a new guy coming to town at 9 o'clock. By 11:30, you got a place to live.
Come on now.
And I ain't lying to you, because as long as they're showing them women a little bit of money, hey, you know, I'm going to buy you some clothes and you get your hair done. The hell with little Joey at the house, he moving in.
That's right.
Half of these dudes are coming in from other cities, smuggling in drugs, selling the drugs, doing the different stuff, then disrupted the whole household. And, hey, you know, it's a mess all the way around.
It is.
You know what they call this? The hate old folk.
And yeah, but you know what? And also, this woman, single mothers, my hat's off to you. I really do. And this is not something to disparage single mothers, because there are a lot of great women. Only there's a lot of great single mothers out there. The point that I'm putting out there, if you want to date, you want to have a companion. You know, it's almost like you need to go through a screening process before you bring these men into your home. All right? Fine. It's just because, you know, you're out there, it's a hot night, and you're hot, and he's hot, and everything like that. You cannot, because you got a lot of guys out here that hey, they got that con game on. Okay, let me finish. They got the con game on. And it's like, look, you can be useful as long as you're useful. You got a kid, and I'm not going to say anything, but I really prefer that you didn't. And that is not my priority. My priority is to get over. The point that I'm making is, it's okay to do whatever you want to do as a grown-up, as long as you put in a little discernment and says, okay, is this cat that I'm bringing to my home, is he the best thing for my children? Okay? And you can't do that.
But hold on. But see, a lot of people out here, when it comes to relationships, when a female got children, it's a lot of men out here that will tell you, I date you. I ain't dating them.
But hold up, here's the back. You're right. But you're right. I'm not disagreeing, but this is where I'm going to. I will come in to some point of the defense of the woman, and this is where it is.
I mean, but a real grown man will be. No, that's part of the package deal. If you got kids,
here's the problem.
And I'm dating you, then I understand this part of the package.
But hold up, but here's the problem. You get a lot of these, and I'm being honest, you'll get a lot of situations where. And yes, the woman is the first line of defense, because unfortunately, I hate to say it like this, but a lot of brothers ain't got their stuff together, and these women are their security blankets. And these women have been put in positions where they might have kids, but the men they done had these kids where they ain't doing a damn thing to help them.
Right.
And then you bring somebody in to come in from out of town, got a little bit of money. You ain't got to worry about that electric getting turned off next week. Your heat is on. You can get a little bit of groceries. Hey, man, that changes the whole game. And I ain't trying to be funny, but it changes the whole game. Now you mean to tell me I can go actually get my hair done instead of wearing that same wig I didn't have for 3 years? It's realistic. These men know it. When you get guys coming in, you getting dudes coming in, at least where I'm from. You got guys coming in out of Chicago, and the first place they go to North End Projects, down to the Village. You know, anywhere where there's a little Section 8, you go out to the Legion, go to the Elks, you meet these girls. They're half of them out there. Ain't nothing. They got little, you know, got kids. The fathers ain't helping them. They struggling to make it from one day, not 1 week, one day to the next. And somebody comes up and say, hey, I can do this. I can do that for you. I can do this. Look at what I got. You got to start thinking. And to see if the men handled their business and had these kids, these men wouldn't be able to come in here and do that.
That's exactly
because,
right.
Because, see, we would be in our home saying, hey, I don't know where you're from, but you can turn around and get the hell out.
You got to get the hell out of here. I want to hear from Sonya. Sonya, the only lady on the panel right now, and she's been back quiet, taking in a lot of things, so I'm sure you have a lot to say. I want your take on this discussion, and I wouldn't want to hear that.
Okay, I can't give too much of
Turn that mic up. Number two.
I can't give too much of an opinion because I More really did not date a lot when I was a single parent. Matter of fact, I took a break from dating once I became a single parent. For 10 years, I did not date. It wasn't until Mel came back that into my life that I decided to start dating. So I can't say a whole lot. I can tell you what I saw with my friends. And unfortunately, for some of my